Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Looking to work part-time? You might have a chance. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. You are joining me in the studio today. My name is Simon, and of course, we are also here with my co-host, Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone. It is great to be in the studio.
Linda, this, of course, is our August career article, and what is it called?
It is entitled Part-Time Expertise.
Okay, part-time, meaning you're not doing it all the time.
Right, it's not full-time.
But unlike the normal use of that word or that term, you know, we normally hear about part-time jobs, part-time students. We're usually talking about ways you occupy your time. Here we're talking about expertise or expertise.
Right. So yeah. It's still in the realm of working, of employment, but we're taking it's a little different look.
I suppose they're drawing a contrast here because, I mean, this isn't always true, but depending on where you live, when you hear part-time job, you're probably going to be thinking about like some teenager working after school or weekends, maybe, you know, in a clerk kind of role or something like that.
Something on the side. Usually a part-time job is like, you're not, that's not your full-time thing. It's just something that you do on the side. Maybe earn some extra money or like maybe, you are a full-time student, so you only have time for a part-time job.
But of course, there are other part-time jobs. There are part-time jobs that can be, you know, at fairly high levels of a career. Like you might think about consultants or lawyers who advise on cases or people who do specific project work, things like that. There can be, you know, highly skilled professionals who have a lot of expertise who are working on something part-time, and that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Exactly. That is what we'll be looking at today.
They use some interesting terms that will come up in the article. They're kind of mathematical terms. Actually, you see the first one in our subtitle where it says, paying a fraction of the cost for highly skilled workers. The term there, of course, is fraction. What's a fraction?
So a fraction is a part of something, part of a whole.
Yeah. You're not paying the full price. You're paying a percentage, if you will. Technically, when we talk about fractions, we usually talk about things like 1/4 or 1/2 or 1/3. So, you know, not the whole. That's the idea. Good stuff. So you can see here that there's some sort of trend emerging where I assume companies are saving on cost, but still having access to skilled workers.
Yes. And yes, the ideal thing here is that you don't have to pay the full amount. Everybody loves a discount, right? But you want to get quality still for the money that you pay. And here, that is possible.
Sounds like it's good for the company. Do you think it's good for the worker?
We'll see, Simon.
We're going to find out, aren't we? Yes, we are. Actually, you know, we're talking about this like it's a new emerging trend, but it isn't really. It just kind of has new names attached to it, right?
Yeah. This, and it works. It works for both sides. You know, if you find a situation, if you find yourself in this situation, then you can make it work.
Yeah, I've mentioned before on the radio that in small town Canada where I grew up, there was a wide range of part-time work for professional college graduates. Things like working for the library or working as a teacher. Often you can get part-time kind of contracts. And so it provides a lot of flexibility for people, particularly as they get older and have families or have other things to deal with, like aging parents. So this is not really a new idea, but it is definitely an emerging trend in that it's kind of, I guess, becoming more common again, right?
Yeah.
All right, listeners, we're going to do two readings today. If you have your August magazine, I would encourage you to open it up. Obviously, it is to your benefit as an English learner to be able to read along while you're listening, to pair up the pronunciation with the written word. If you don't have your magazine, I would encourage you to get one. It's the easiest way to support Advanced and Advanced Radio, and we appreciate that support a great deal. So today, we're going to do two readings. Let's jump into our first reading together now.
Part-time expertise. Paying a fraction of the cost for highly skilled workers. A new category of solopreneur is challenging perceptions of what it means to be self-employed. Since 2018, demand for fractional expertise or specialized talent that works for one or many firms on a limited or part-time basis has tripled, according to a recent study by workforce intelligence company Revelio Labs. The most popular part-time executive position, according to the study, is CFO, which makes up 18% of fractional executive roles, followed by CMO at 14% and CEO at 10%. Revelio Labs' chief economist, Lisa Simon, says that layoffs have freed up many highly skilled workers, while budgetary constraints have added to the appeal of a lower-cost, flexible alternative to full-time hires. Employers see fractional work as a way to save on costs while filling a particular role, and because of the weak labor market, more workers are willing to take these part-time positions, she explains.
Linda, I'm glad you're here, because you're an editor. There are a bunch of terms that I have never seen before in my life in this article.
Really?
I guess you could call them business jargon.
Okay. Right? Yes, specifically business terms, use specialized terms.
I mean, other than pop culture, business is probably the area of English language that comes up with the most specialized terms the most quickly, right? So here we have the first one in our first line. A new category of solopreneur is challenging perceptions of what it means to be self-employed. So a solopreneur is a self-employed person.
Mm-hmm. We see that prefix solo, right? Alone, by oneself.
Yeah.
So it's someone who starts and runs a business, which is similar to the word that most of us know, entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
But it differs in that the solopreneur operates on his own. Well, he's or her own. Like he or she does everything.
An entrepreneur is establishing an enterprise, right? Like an organization of many people. And presumably this evokes the idea that if you're self-employed, you do own a real business.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to only be you.
Right. You're only employee. Yeah. And then entrepreneur usually takes on others and has a staff.
Though I suppose the intention is what is really important, because you could imagine an entrepreneur who starts a new business and is the only worker.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not planning on being the only worker in this business forever.
Right.
Whereas the solopreneur presumably just wants to work by themselves.
Yeah. Or that's just the nature of their business.
Yeah. So what we're talking about very specifically here is basically self-employed people, people who intend to be working by themselves with different partners or different companies. I used the term with there instead of for, because I imagine they are probably thinking about doing project-based contract work, right? Where they are kind of they're not being hired through HR to be part-time workers. They're going to work with the company to provide expertise or a service. Tells us that since 2018, that was kind of an important year. In a lot of ways, it was, I suppose, the last of the normal years, right? Before the pandemic came.
Mm-hmm.
So since 2018, demand for, and here's another term, fractional expertise. But then they go on to explain it. What do they say?
Or specialized talent that works for one or many firms on a limited or part-time basis.
So I think the use of the word fraction here is, you know, when I was teaching in Canada, we had this term. We talked about fractional contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, now we didn't actually give a fraction. We gave like a decimal place. So teachers could have a 0.6 job, which meant they had 60% or 6/10 of a full-time job. Basically meant you worked in the morning.
Okay.
Or in the afternoon or whatever. And teachers would do this, like, you know, if you had children and they were young or whatever, you would share a teaching job with another teacher, and you would each have a 0.5, or one would have a 0.6, and one would have a 0.4, things like that. And you would basically have a fractional job. Here, presumably, it's fractional because they don't need a full-time person with that expertise.
Right, or can't afford a full-time person. They don't want to spend that amount of money to have a full-time person. Just like the teachers, like in the 0.5, you know, working time, they'd also be paid accordingly, right?
They wouldn't
get a full-time salary. They would get 0.6 or whatever they negotiated to be, but it wouldn't be a full-time salary.
Yeah. So if you were to brainstorm here, small companies and they need professional help, right away, one that jumps out to me is the bookkeeper or the accountant. Like maybe you need help filing your tax paperwork. You don't need a person working full-time for the company. You just need somebody to help out with those things when you need help.
Mm-hmm.
Another example might be for digital marketing, mm-hmm. like someone to run your Instagram page or whatever, right?
Website or,
Yeah, maybe you are an expert. You are a solopreneur. You're just not an expert in that.
Mm-hmm.
So you need help with that sort of area. You can think of lots of different things that might fall into this category. So nonetheless, since 2018, demand for these people has tripled. And this is according to a recent study by workforce intelligence company, Revelio Labs. What's a workforce intelligence company?
Well, workforce is all the people who work in a particular industry or company. And so this intelligence company, this Revelio Labs, they specialize in studying the workforce and learning about the trends and what's going on.
Research, solutions. They're probably like a consulting company, right? Like if you need HR solutions, we need to cut the cost of our workforce, you might talk to them. They would help you out with that sort of thing. Okay, so this is the interesting part here. When I think of part-time workers, we talked about this in the introduction, I tend to think of, well, I don't think of executives, which is what they get into in the next sentence.
Or highly skilled workers.
I do think of skilled professionals because, I have like people in my family who sort of, after having children, continued to work as professionals, but part-time, like skilled professionals. So that's not a strange idea to me. Mm-hmm. But the idea of a corporation having a part-time CFO, which is kind of what we get into here, that does seem a little strange to me.
Yeah, it's very non-traditional.
So I suppose if there's anything new in this trend, it's that these part-time specialized workers are reaching new heights in the corporate structure because they basically tell us that part-time executive positions, the most popular one is CFO, and the CFO makes up 18% of fractional executive roles. So of all the executives who are working part-time, 18% of them are doing CFO job. That, of course, is chief financial officer,
mm-hmm.
kind of the boss bookkeeper, I suppose. We were talking about bookkeepers either. What else, though? What else do we find among our fractional executives?
There are CMOs, chief marketing officers, mm-hmm. and they come in at 14%, and CEOs, chief executive officers, at 10%.
When I heard that, I thought, what are they talking about? But then it occurred to me, Elon Musk is running like 4 or 5 companies, mm-hmm. At any one time, right? Which means he's basically the part-time boss of all 5 of those companies. So I think the idea that someone is the CEO of more than one organization at the same time probably is not as rare as we might think. We don't really think about it.
Yeah.
But it probably is happening.
But for him, because they're all his companies, they're all under his umbrella.
Yeah.
So he's just...
Well, even if it's not an exact fit, the point is like when we actually know people probably who are kind of doing this,
mm-hmm,
we just
mm-hmm.
don't ever think about it.
That's true.
Because we think, oh, they're the boss.
Yeah.
I assume I just kind of think they put in 120 hours of work a week. So it's like they have 3 full-time jobs instead of 1 full-time job. But really, I guess it's not as alien or strange an idea as it could be.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, some of those other executive roles include CTO, Chief Technology Officer, CHRO, the Human Resources, Chief Human Resources Officer.
COO. chief operations officer. Mm-hmm. Right? I suppose there are all kinds of them.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of depends on what the organization needs.
Right.
Right?
But these here are the top three.
I would say the other trend that they don't talk about here in the article, though, is that there, over my professional life, there's been a huge increase in the number of executive positions.
That is true,
right?
Yes.
Like we didn't used to have all these acronyms.
Yes, the C-suite has increased.
Yeah, and so you can sort of see how if that's happening not only at huge companies, if it's also happening at smaller and medium-sized companies,
mm-hmm.
probably a lot of those jobs don't need to be full-time,
yeah.
which would kind of encourage this trend,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As it continues here, it tells us that this lab, this workforce intelligence company's chief economist, oh, I like the name, Lisa Simon, excellent, good choice, says that layoffs have freed up many highly skilled workers. Now, that's not so good. It basically means that companies are cutting the number of employees. And so
yeah.
there are a lot of people with a lot of skills who are laid off. I think we should probably talk about layoffs briefly because they're different than being fired. It's a special kind of losing your job in English, right?
Yeah. When you're laid off, it's usually due to maybe finances. The company isn't able to keep your position because it can't afford to. But it's not due to performance usually.
I think for me, the key thing is if you've been laid off, it's not your fault, right?
That's generally, right?
Whereas if you've been fired, it's because you came late every day for a month and the boss got angry
at you.
Or you stole something or whatever.
It's from something having to do with your performance
yeah.
at the job.
So we use this special term nonetheless to distinguish that these are like highly skilled workers who didn't do anything wrong. They just kind of found that their old job was not there anymore. And so they're available. That's kind of the idea. Budgetary constraints for companies, meaning companies have less money available to spend on staff, have added to the appeal of lower cost, flexible alternatives to full-time hires. So this is why it's happening, because there's lots of people available. And companies have less money to spend on those people. So if you can get them to work part-time, what a great solution. It goes on to give us a quote there. What does that say?
Employers see fractional work as a way to save on costs while filling a particular role. And because of the weak labor market, more workers are willing to take these part-time positions.
Would you do this, Linda? If I offered you a part-time CEO job, 20 hours a week, do you think you would be willing to take it?
Well, if that was my area of expertise and I couldn't get a full-time position.
I'll pay you well, Linda. Just not as well as you would be paid if you were full-time.
Right. So that would work because
it would work for me too.
I would need a job and then you know, it would fit your budgetary constraints or limitations.
You know, as I get older, I have children that are young and I want to spend more time with them. But I'm also getting older, and I think this would be perfect for me.
Mm-hmm. So you work less hours to be able to spend more time with your kids.
Spend more time with the kids. You could kind of go into like semi-retirement early. But you could, you know, one of the things you don't want to do is let your skills die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be doing something that you don't find meaningful just because you have a job. So this seems like a perfect solution for probably a lot of people. And that brings us to our second reading. Linda, you want to take it away?
Sure. Separating activities. What I'm seeing is the unbundling of roles, explained Sarah Daw, the global CEO of UK-based Liberty Group, which connects businesses with fractional executive talent. Roles that we historically thought of as full-time and permanent are unbundling into more work tasks and activities. And the fractional trend meets that head on. Before COVID, most people didn't know what we were talking about when we were pitching it, says Daw. Most business owners wanted their CFO sitting next to them. And I think COVID taught everyone that we can work differently, and it's normalized our business model. Control and flexibility. The pandemic also inspired workers to reevaluate their relationship with work and seek more control over their schedules. It encouraged a lot of people to consider whether their full-time, high-end, C-suite leadership job was detrimental to their health, well-being, their family, Daw says. Prior to the pandemic, Daw says the primary customers for fractional services were startups and small businesses that couldn't afford full-time help. While that segment remained strong, there has also been significant growth among larger organizations looking for a temporary, flexible helping hand.
Okay, so we're hearing here from a British company, the Liberty Group, that tells us they connect businesses with fractional executive talent. So they're basically a headhunting company, which means they find, you know, senior leadership for other companies. But we're told here that they're seeing a trend. What's the trend?
Right. They're seeing this trend of the unbundling of roles. And this word unbundling means to separate the roles. What was package? What was, say, the role of the CEO? You got this full-time employee, and all of these tasks and responsibilities were bundled in this role, were together in this role.
Yeah.
But now they're separating those tasks and responsibilities so that it can be, so someone who is a part-time or fractional worker can do it.
Yeah. They continue on that quote by saying, roles that we historically thought of as full-time and permanent are basically becoming smaller part-time roles. So actually, the best example I can think of this is IT.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked with a number of small and medium-sized companies over your career, as mm-hmm. I have. You know how IT is always where, it's like IT's doing 15 different jobs. Like, they have to keep your network running. They have mm-hmm. to maintain the databases. They have to, you call them when your internet is not working in mm-hmm. a desperate panic, right? But also they have to do stuff like design and build new apps, manage the website. There's like so many different things, some of which kind of fall under marketing, some of which kind of fall under operations, some of which, and they just get basically dumped everything that involves a computer.
That's
not a very good way to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be better if you had some operations people who understood how to use computers running the computing things for operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can sort of see how that whole idea of IT being one thing is maybe, you know, a thing from history that is slowly changing now. So that would be an example. If you break your IT department into like five different departments that do different things with different parts of the company, you might be doing this. They go on to talk about before COVID, most people didn't know what they were talking about when they were pitching it. And presumably what they're pitching here is this idea, like they're consulting with companies and saying, you should unbundle your CTO role, right? You should have a chief marketing officer deal with the social media stuff. You should have and people didn't know what they were talking about. Most business owners wanted their CFO, that's the finance guy, sitting next to them. And I think COVID taught everyone that we can work differently, and it's normalized our business model.
So COVID made a difference because when everyone was at home working, you weren't in the office, you kind of saw that, okay, well, maybe we don't need this person sitting in the office like every single day there because you did it without him or did it a different way during COVID. So,
you know, through COVID, we recorded radio in person. Like, we actually came, throughout COVID, we recorded like this radio program, mm-hmm. I should say, in person. But many of our listeners won't know that we actually developed an ability to do it from home on our own computers and blend the voices together. Do you remember doing that?
Yes,
we did test runs of
plan.
It.
Yeah, we had
a plan because we weren't sure if, you know, we actually sit fairly far apart in our studio here. Many of our listeners won't have seen that. So we were able to do it without breaking the rules mm-hmm. in the studio. But
we
did it with masks at a time. And, you know, there was talk about like facing different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't looking at each other. But we managed to do it well following the rules. But the rules were changing quickly enough that we were worried about that. And so it just kind of shows like things you don't think are possible.
Yeah.
Maybe are possible
right.
under pressure.
If you need to, you'll find a way.
Yeah. And I suppose that knowledge inspired workers. That's what they talk about in the next paragraph, control and flexibility. The pandemic inspired workers to reevaluate their relationship with work and seek more control over their schedules. I know you have discovered that a lot of your life is spent in meetings. Yeah. I don't know about right now, but you've spent much of your life in meetings as I have.
Yeah.
And sometimes those meetings can be done much faster and you can find yourself with a lot more free time. So, you know, policing your schedule, controlling your schedule can lead to a big change in the quality of your life. Here it tells us that people were encouraged to consider whether their full-time high-end C-suite leadership job was detrimental to their health. So they're listing all these characteristics, basically trying to say their executive job.
Was it harmful to their normal life?
It was a great job, but it was destroying their life and their health and their well-being. And their
relationships,
family. Yeah. So before the pandemic, the primary customers for fractional services were startups and small businesses that couldn't afford full-time help.
That makes sense. Yeah, because they just can't afford it.
Well, the segment remains strong because, you know, they still can't afford it, right? There's been significant growth among larger organizations looking for temporary, flexible helping hands. And that's going to bring us to the end of our program today, but not the end of the article. Right? This article continues on for another program. Listeners, I hope you're able to join us for that. But like I say, we're out of time for today. So I'm Simon.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.